Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
It is that time of the week. Paul Koharski from PaulKoharski.com here with us for the next hour talking all things Tennessee Titans. And there is a whole lot of things to get to with the Titans. PK, you've already been with us, so I'll tell you good morning again. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you
I hope people heard the pre-show show.
Oh, they did too. Let's start on the Kevin Byard front. Obviously, you're talking about a very beloved member of the organization, a great player who, during his time here, never missed a game. Kevin Byard traded to Philadelphia. You get back Terrell Edmunds, a fifth-rounder and a sixth-rounder. What did you make of that move by the Titans, and what do you make of the compensation in return that they got for Kevin Byard?
Well, I'm not surprised that they dealt him. Look, the situation that partially prompts them having to deal him is another example of just how badly they've been run recently. They're recouping picks that they dealt for Dennis Daly and Ugo Amadi. And we know the influence those two fine gentlemen had on this franchise.
Ugo was okay. Don't rip Ugo.
He's here for like 2
Ugo
weeks.
Ugo wasn't on the roster. Ugo was okay. I mean, that's one of the worst, dumbest things that you've said since I've been doing
this. There's no way that's true.
How is Ugo okay when he gets cut?
Well, but the point is that you know, Dennis Daly was like a generationally bad left tackle. He shouldn't be paired with Ugo.
And Ugo Amadi was cut.
Yeah, but
Dennis Daly was on the roster to be bad, and Ugo Amadi didn't even have the opportunity to be bad because he couldn't make the roster.
By the way,
he's technically worse.
Thanks to everyone at Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, keep going.
All right, so
you're getting derailed. You recoup
those two picks, and you get a body. I don't think Terrell Edmunds is going to be anything of substance. If he was anything of substance, he'd be playing safety for the Eagles,
yes,
who would have kept their fifth and sixth round picks. Not theirs. It's Minnesota or Tampa's in the fifth,
Tampa,
and it's the Titans' pick in the sixth that they're getting back. So
it's
as if the Ugo trade never happened.
So thank
as long
you.
As you don't have Kevin.
So, Nashville, thanks to Ugo.
As long as you don't have Kevin Byard. You know, sentimentally, it's a difficult thing to take. I think I've said all along, Titans fans overvalue these guys who are going to be dealt. All of them have some kind of dent. Kevin Byard, great player, hasn't touched a ball this season, played some good run defense, but he's on the wrong side of 30 now. And next year, $14 million, the Titans weren't going to pay him that. They're only going to save about $6 million because of accelerated void years. But so do you want this in exchange for him now, or do you want 11 more games of him and nothing? I think that's an easy answer. And I think the Titans could play poor pass defense without him. So it's simple.
So I agree with that. The big question I have is, you could look at this move and say everything you just laid out there, it makes sense to me on a lot of reasons. But you could also, like, if you're Vrabel the coach, talking to Vrabel the GM or the co-GM, say, okay, you got a couple picks. You've helped your draft a little bit. You still have a team that if this, and this breaks right, you could still win and be competitive. So this is it. Or are you of the mind that once you do this, you really need to look to move another player or two if possible and continue down that road?
Well, I think if they made this move alone, they're not that far from where they were before this move.
They are worse.
They are worse.
I mean, how much value do you put on Kevin Byard in the locker room?
Tremendous amount of value. A tremendous amount of value. The number one guy in the locker room, I would say. They are still favored. Last week I told you 7. Now they're favored in 5.
They're it's dwindling.
They're favored in 5 games going forward. That, you know, it never plays out like it's supposed to. But if they won those 5 and got to 7 and sprung you know, one upset, and these other games are all close. You know, the schedule's not hard. It's completely conceivable, positive PK here, that they beat Atlanta and beat Pittsburgh in the next 2 weeks. Pittsburgh's got an amazing defense, but their offense is terrible. If you went into Pittsburgh and ran well, like got back to your roots, ran well, protected the ball, you could win a 13-10 game conceivably in Pittsburgh. I'm just saying it's God, in the realm of possibility that they could, you know, what if they were 4-4 a week from tomorrow? What would the fan base be saying? You know, and their schedule after that's pretty.
Of course, the deadline's before we know about easy. The fourth.
Right.
But, yeah.
But, I, you know, I think that they're trying to sell. I don't think they get very good offers for anybody left. The most valuable guy is DeAndre Hopkins, who I think you could get a fourth rounder for, you know, maybe a third. After that, you know, I'm not convinced you get a straight up pick for Derrick Henry. I'm not convinced you get a sixth. I think maybe you get a fifth for a seventh. You know, or something like that for Danico Autry. You're talking, all of these guys have something that is flawed for the acquiring team, and you're fire sailing. Derrick Henry's on the, you know, about to be on the wrong side of 30. He needs volume. You're not going to bring in a guy and give him 20 carries. You're going to bring him in and give him 10 carries. And he's going to cost you $6.4 million. It'd go down a little bit if he plays one more game here. Autry's 33. Tart's got toe issues and seems to be at odds with his coaches. DeAndre Hopkins is old and, you know, isn't a downfield guy. He's the most appealing guy. Christian Fulton, you know, has obviously been pretty terrible this year. You're looking at a reclamation guy like we could bring him in and turn him into something. But all of them have holes. And I don't think you're going to be able to deal all of them. You know, I would think two more would be max, and it's conceivable none more.
Going back to the press conference yesterday, we talked about this to kick off the show today. One of the incredible parts of the press conference was Vrabel claiming that the record has nothing to do with them making the Byard trade, and you tried to press him on that after that. You know, so if you're 5-1, are you making this deal?
I said, if you're 5-1 and Byard has three picks, you're still making this deal? And
right.
He did not answer that. Sideswiped it, right? I mean, of course it's about the record, and of course it's about what they think they can do going forward.
So do we have a problem with him just not saying that and not addressing that and just acting like it has nothing to do with the record when we all know it does?
I do a bit, yeah.
Yeah, I do, but I mean, I don't know what it hurts to acknowledge that the circumstances are dictating everything. Circumstances are dictating everything. And this thing, you know, where the line of questioning, like, well, you know, you the guy wouldn't take a pay cut, and then ultimately he took a pay cut because he wants to be here, and then didn't you go back on your word and hurt? It's all business, man.
I mean, you got to rip Stoneman again. I will try not to bring him up this hour.
I mean, that's such an emotional fan thing. And what we should be doing in our position, I think, is educating people and helping people understand how it works. But if you're somebody sitting behind the microphone who doesn't understand how it works, it's unhealthy for the whole thing. It works. Things change. So you say one thing to Byard in the circumstances of the moment with an understanding on both sides that the circumstances change on a day-to-day basis in the league.
Yeah.
And that when you're 2-4 and things are struggling, hey, we might have to deal you. And it's an ideal scenario for you to end your career here, yeah, but it usually doesn't happen that way. And you know who understands that better than anybody? Kevin Byard, yeah. Who's not a little boy, who is the kind of man that Mike Vrabel suggested that Stilly be.
Thinks like a dude.
By the way, pretty good landing spot for Kevin Byard, too. I mean, opportunity to go win a Super Bowl.
In all seriousness, like, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, look, the bottom line is these guys, this is why, one, I get mad when fans ever, like, choose management. I understand if you're a fan, like, you want to keep a player or whatever in a contract dispute, but it's like, this is why, I mean, it is so easy to be moved, cut, shipped away in this league, and everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Byard has seen it happen. And I think there's some sentiment, though, right? There's sentiment with certain players. Like, if Derrick Henry were to get moved, I mean, I would assume it was at least be a decent team. You know, there's fan sentiment for certain guys, and Byard is one of those guys, right?
Yes. But you should not technically care one lick where Kevin Byard lands. You should care entirely, if you're a Titans fan, which you claim to be, about the return. If the choice was Kevin Byard going to Philadelphia or going to Arizona, and the return from Arizona was better, if you're a Titans fan, you want the Arizona return.
It's okay to like people, though.
Yeah, it's okay to like people, but this thing
you don't have to be a jerk to everybody.
No, it's not about being a jerk. It's about, are you for the team or are you not for the team? There's this overriding thing, and maybe it's just a Twitter thing, and Twitter is, I over-proportionalize it. But this thing where the predominant thing, if you move a guy, is getting the guy to a good situation. The Titans would like to get a guy to a nice situation who's done good things for them, but the Titans' job is to take care of the Titans. And if the offer from Arizona, and Arizona's not dealing, so this is a bad comparison.
We get your point, though.
But you've got to get the best return you can get. If Derrick Henry happens to get a Super Bowl ring out of it, great for Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry goes and wins fewer games than he would win with the Titans, sorry. I had to get what I could get for the Titans.
We'll have more with Paul Karski from paulkarski.com coming up next. There's the ton to get into. The deadline in the NFL, less than a week away. Will Levis starting at quarterback for the Titans on Sunday against Atlanta. We'll get into all of that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us here on this Wednesday morning. PK, Ian Rappaport reporting this morning that Will Levis is expected to start for the Titans on Sunday against the Falcons. Vrabel said yesterday that we should expect both quarterbacks to play. Let's break that down. What do you make of Will Levis starting? And if he is starting and both quarterbacks are playing, what's the role for Malik Willis going to be? Well, red zone package?
I wrote yesterday, and I think most of us presume both quarterbacks playing would mean Levis starting and Willis being in some gimmicky sub package, which is dangerous based on what we saw from Malik Willis last year when he came in games a couple times from Ryan as a sub for Ryan Tannehill and could not take an exchange or could not handle a handoff, which leads into a broader thing here of how long do you get a chance to do stuff like that. We had a conversation with Vrabel about Kyle Phillips yesterday. Like, how long does being good at something at practice buy you a chance to do it in the game? And I think Kyle Phillips absolutely has to be on his last strike. I don't think he should get another strike. And I've been a Kyle Phillips backer. But, I mean, you got to be done with that guy. And I don't know what Kyaris Jackson's status is. I didn't ask that yesterday. We'll ask it today. But to me, he's the guy who should be back there as soon as possible. I'm wary of Willis in those situations. Hopefully he's gotten better there. But based on his lack of improvement in other areas, I don't see why we should expect improvement in that area.
So how about just the conditions here for Levis? Of course, there may be deals before we get to Sunday. But
think there will be deals. Deals are done. You're not going to make a deal now on Wednesday with your game plan in place and with people going. Deals now happen Monday, Tuesday again, and then that'll be it. I don't think there'll be any deals.
So we'll presume everybody in place. Real quick on that, how do you believe that could be here or it does happen? You know, you got a contingent deal or something in mind at least, maybe not on paper.
Yeah, and where it's off like, somebody.
Well, then you see what happens on Sunday. Like if the Titans get to 2-5, does that increase the chances one deal that's been discussed happens?
I find it hard to believe that one win or loss to Atlanta would really reshape what the Titans feel about themselves, though – you can fool yourself if if Levis comes in and lights it up, maybe, and the Jaguars, I don't know if they have a bye this week. If the Jaguars lose, then you say, hey, we're maintaining some contact there. We have two games with the Jags. We have two games with, you can convince yourself a lot of things.
They got the Steelers on the road Sunday,
by the way. I think it's a fair thing to be considering, Joe.
So what about the conditions for Levis? You know, they're not perfect, but I mean, this idea that you keep him in a glass case until they're perfect, you might be waiting until year 4.
But he's getting hit. Now, he's a rugged guy, but pass protection is at the biggest premium it's been at all year, and there's no reason to expect it to be anything better, except that the Falcons don't have, you know, some superstar. You know, they're not facing Myles Garrett this week. You know, maybe better internals than out edge, which is better. The Titans are better suited for. But, you know, they've been beaten by everybody, and they need to protect better outside. It seems like Skaronski's not – they just see him as a guard, period. Now, maybe if NPF is as bad outside or comparably bad to Dillard.
They go through like six guys who are terrible. Okay, Peter.
Well, I had a mailbag
week
question.
Week 18.
I had a mailbag question this week that said, like, how many guys do they have to look at before they'll look at Skaronski? And I said, two, I think. And I don't think there's another guy that would go to left tackle.
Put Raidens out there.
It's not going to be Raidens. It's not going to be Justin Murray from the practice squad. I just think they're going to try this now for a good while. Dillard has been demoted. So there's progress. If you're looking for at least incremental progress in terms of what you've been miserable with, here's some.
All right. But
NPF was really bad.
I mean,
in London, initially, I'm thinking, boy, Willis is doing a horrible job here. And then you slow it down and you look at it and you're like, well, I mean, maybe half of that was on Willis. Half of it, of the four in no time,
but here you go,
was NPF, who was terrible. He was better run blocking. So, I mean, you want in this game to run. I would hope they have like a comprehensible plan with Derrick Henry in this game, where they need to run and do all of the things, run, play action, put Levis on the move, all of those things that make it as easy as possible for him. And the more those things break down, the less of a chance that he'll have.
All right, so let's just go around the room on this one. So two questions here, one of which is going to be pretty hard to answer, but let's throw it out there anyway. What are fair expectations for Levis heading into this game, given the fact that we've basically seen him for, what, 30 snaps in the Chicago preseason game? There's almost nothing to go on as an NFL player. We know the conditions around him. So having said all that, what are the expectations for Levis heading into this one? And, PK, moving forward here, what are the chances that this is now Levis's job from here on out the rest of this year, even if Tannehill gets back healthy? Like, what has to happen for Tannehill to be back in there this year?
Well, Mike Vrabel always talks about efficient quarterback play. If he can give them efficient quarterback play, protect the ball. So, I mean, it's going to be hard for him not to turn the ball over based on accuracy and decision-making, which are the two big things coming in, right, from what he did at Kentucky. If he can be good in those departments and keep them in games with a chance to win in the fourth quarter, whether they win or not, I think he would have a chance of holding on to the job. It also depends on where they are, right? So it's better for him if they don't win, in a way.
That's the thing. Like, if they're 2-6, and then Tannehill's – because I find it – I don't know about you, PK. I find it difficult to believe Tannehill's coming back before the Pittsburgh game. I mean, you've got the game Sunday, which he's not going to play in. And then Thursday, it's such a short week. You're probably not seeing Tannehill for at least two more games. So if you're 2-6
like,
at that
TJ
point.
TJ Watt? Ah, man, yeah, it's really hurting.
This thing hurts. So if you're 2-6, like, your season's shot at that point. However, if he plays great and they're 4-4, are you taking him out?
What about 4-4 with bad QB play? That's the one. That's the interesting one. 4-4, but bad QB play.
Yeah, 4-4 with bad QB play, I think they'll probably
RT
go back.
RT-17. We got some good questions for you on the text line. Maybe
we'll get some of those coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Your questions for PK on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Got some Preds tickets to give away. See them take on the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena.
Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Toronto Maple Leafs at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Saturday night, a 6 o'clock puck drop. So that's nice after the 8:15 puck drop last night, 6 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, it would have been nice to flip-flop those, right?
Yeah, it would have been great.
Yeah,
it would
have been helpful.
One thing about that, we talked about the 4-4 scenario with bad quarterback play. What would they get back to? To have a 4-4 scenario with bad quarterback play, they'd need to run the ball well. Is that conceivable? They'd need to start rushing the passer again. What has happened with that
over
the last two games?
Yeah.
Touching the quarterback three or four times? I mean, that's bad.
What's happened to Arden Key? Because the first half of the Saints game, I was like, my God, this guy's going to have 15 sacks.
14 sack guy.
And I feel like we've not even seen him since then.
He's a flasher, but he's not been flashing at all.
Yeah, it's no. But that the thing is, both of those things, especially the pass rush, to me, are still plausible. I mean, they should be, right? So if that were to reemerge. By the way, Zach points out that Christian McCaffrey was traded on Thursday, played Sunday. Just saying, it does happen.
Yeah, rare.
A few questions for you. I forget. I missed them. I'm going to throw three at you. So see if you can rapid fire hit them, okay?
I can handle it.
I know, Robbie. I know. His short term's not very good. We're going to try this.
I have to mention my family. I use that.
You made me feel bad.
I use that and you feel bad, which is funny. You shouldn't feel bad at all.
Terrible. All right. So first of all, someone asked you why they're so bullish on no Skaronski at left tackle, okay? Also, I got Kenston here. Well, let's just address them one at a time.
I mean, they just seem to feel like he's a guard. A lot of teams did project him as a guard.
I don't have a big problem with that.
I don't have a big problem with him being a guard in the long term. I just think with their struggles at left tackle, why not see? And that doesn't mean he has to be a left tackle
forever. Also could be tied to how good they are, right? I mean, it could be like are they actually winning enough to be in something or not? If they are, then I think I get it.
Well, if you're looking for maximum ways for Will Levis not to die,
could he be your best option over there?
Could be your best option.
Could be. Okay, Kenston, so much hope from fans about all this cap space coming up. Do you think Vrabel could survive 6 wins or less next year?
I think Vrabel's a coach of this team next year for sure. 6 wins next year? Look, I mean, I think Adam Strunk should be on board with digging out of this roster. She fired John Robinson for this roster. Then you have to let him replenish this roster, which is going to take some time.
Alex from Montreal, how come Vrabel couldn't tell local media Levis is starting yesterday? You got to hear it from Ian this morning.
Well, I need to bite my lip a little bit on Ian. He's not going to.
The Titans have approved of that being out this morning.
He's not going to announce who the starting quarterback is. We all presumed, based on what he said, they weren't going to rotate quarterbacks like they do in college, which you approve of and think is an acceptable way to play football. You saying the Titans approve of that being out is you saying the Titans approve of that.
It is my speculation.
I'm in trouble over there. I'm in trouble over there because I speculate things, so I won't speculate things. I hope they're listening to me not speculate things.
Okay.
And I score a golden check mark.
Goody for you. And you told Vrabel he's smart. You're smart. Jerry's dumb. Meanwhile, you come on our show.
It's not Vrabel I'm in trouble.
But you come on our show and you say things that we're not allowed to say on the air and get us all fired.
It's not Vrabel I'm in trouble with. It's not
Sounds Vrabel. Good.
So on the Vrabel front is interesting.
I speak to Vrabel.
Because yesterday, I think, you know, a lot's being made of the locker room part of this, right? Of Vrabel's the coach. He's putting together the game plan. They're trying to go win the Falcons game this week. But also, if you're a player in that locker room, you're like, okay, we're talking about all these things that give us the best opportunity to win, and you're the guy that traded away Kevin Beyer earlier this week. So that dynamic, I think, is going to be interesting. Because Vrabel's never had to really deal with that part of it before. The coaching part and the personnel part. How do you think that factors into things with the locker room?
Well, he kind of said two things can be true, didn't he, Joe? And I kind of agree with this. Like, if you're a guy in that locker room, your job is to go out and play as best you can to contribute to a win. And stuff that happens over your pay grade where they may have traded a guy away with in more of a long-term mood. I think Imani Hooker said it well. Like, yeah, the first day in the locker room, it sucked. A guy who everybody likes and is friends with is gone.
Imani was really good
yesterday. But after that, you get back to work. And I've said this time and time again, and it's true. When you get in the huddle again, you are not thinking about who's not in the huddle. You are thinking about who is in the huddle.
Yeah.
And so when they get in their first defensive huddle on Sunday against Atlanta, there will not be a single thought of Kevin Byard not being in that huddle. Now, maybe during the breakdown and during the pregame speech that Byard is a part of, some guys will think, hey, this is weird for 31 not to be there. But in terms of it impacting the game, if it impacts the game for you, you're not very good, focused, smart player.
I agree with you, but also a lot of performance on Sunday is during the week. So, and also there is the distraction element here too. I mean, I do think a little bit about the Robinson firing. I think that players, coaches, everybody talks about distractions so much that you can't just. It's like as stupid as it is to care about billboard material. How much do they worry about it, talk about it, give it to their teams if the other side gives it to them to prevent their side from doing it? It must mean something, right?
Well, I'm with Rabel on this.
So distractions have to mean something too, do they not?
You can't avoid distractions.
Yeah,
you just have to be able to deal with them. And I certainly think, especially if another trade happens, these guys have to think, well, they don't expect very much of us this year. But you know what else? I think they look at Andre Dillard and think, they can't expect very much of us this year if that was their answer at left tackle.
Well, except that's just a bad choice. This is a choice that's saying something. That was a bad choice that you're still trying to have a good player and win. This is a choice that says, we're not very good. I mean, how could you not take that? So yep. I agree with you get to the game, and to play this game, you have to be at such a high level of violence and physicality and all that stuff. But – like, there is a little extra to winning, isn't there? Like, a little extra prepper in the week. Kevin Byard, the absolute king of that,
yes.
Right? From all accounts.
Yeah.
And you just wonder how much you lose there.
And in that regard, you're at a crossroads with some guys. Do they say, hey, I'm going to do, and Hooker addressed this, I'm going to do what Kevin Byard would have done and give it a little extra? Or, man, we're done. I'm going to. And they learn more about their guys here. And I think Vrabel and Carthon would both say, in our culture, our expectation is they go the good way that Hooker's talking about. And to what Simmons said in London, if some guys go the other way, you're learning about those guys. But it'd be a big disappointment to me if they have many of those guys this far into the culture thing and all of that. Who's going the other way on this team? And I think we know who the main culprits are. Dillard doesn't have a lot of heart. I think it's fair to say at this stage, and he's out of the lineup. Tart, I think he's got a legitimate toe injury. I mean, I don't think he's dogging a toe injury. But the way he's behaved and the way Terrell Williams has talked about
it. They clearly aren't happy
stuff,
with how he's
There's some stuff going on with Tart. Who else? I mean, I don't have an easy time finding somebody else to point a finger at to say the effort is a problem. And Vrabel prides himself on that. Like, look, identity thing. He's done a poor job lately of answering the identity question, but the first line in his answer is always effort. And I do think they play hard.
A lot of questions on the Derrick Henry front. Number one, what did you make of what he had to say yesterday at the press conference? And do you think, I mean, right now, according to Diana Russini and the reports out there, there's not much, if at all, interest in Derrick Henry from teams around the league. Are you surprised by that heading into the deadline?
People making calls or checking things out is one thing, but what they're checking things out on are, could be well below what you're willing to do. Or, it could just be a check-in without any offer connected to it. So a phone call could be a lot of different things. Now, are they ultimately determined to get something for Henry with 11 games left and they'll take whatever the best offer they get is? I don't know about that. I mean, if you're getting a late pick swap for Derrick Henry – you got a lot of things to consider there. A, the value of a pick swap. B, you know, there's a marketing element to this.
Absolutely.
A lot of fans are upset about Byard. It would be way worse
with Henry. And if you go into the crowd of the game, what percentage of the jerseys are Henry? And then what percentage on top of that are Byard?
But I, look, and all that said, if it's a, if it makes sense from if it makes sense for your roster from the business standpoint, do it. I don't think it would be very good, like you said. Also, I mean, I can make the case right now that next year Will Levis, your quarterback, obviously you're still going to try to have a good team. It's a rebuild of some sort. I would not hate, if I were Will Levis, having Hopkins on his second year of his deal.
Oh, agree.
And having Henry, you know, whatever, a year.
It's going to be significantly cheaper for Henry next year.
Yeah, I mean, $6 or $8 million. It's not,
and if you want people to come next year, if you're thinking about this purely from a business standpoint, having 22 on the roster still is going to help you.
I don't think he's going to be back. Just because I think they'd be on the forefront of
he's probably ring chasing, right?
Well, that's the other thing. Well, would he want to come back?
Well, listen, it's not if people aren't after him right now for very cheap, and I understand the market's different later. These backs, older backs, get out there. There's not a lot of people after
him. Man, I hear you.
I understand he's a different guy and all of that, but again, you got to shape your offense somewhat to get the best out of him, and he's slowing down a little bit.
But
and people aren't anxious for 30-year-old running backs.
But Ravens and Eagles, I think he could fit seamlessly.
And they
in
do
there.
Take those kind of guys, and the Ravens in particular.
I mean, yeah. Him on the Ravens would be. You talk fire about meltdown, as young
and,
Titan,
yeah. And Titans fans would have absolute palpitations.
History repeating itself.
Yes, it would. We'll have more with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Coming up next, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is from Bad Axe Throwing Nashville. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25. Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, Nashville's largest axe throwing venue, located downtown at 648 Fog Street. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com with us here, talking all things Tennessee Titans. Been a busy week on the Titans front. So the game coming up on Sunday against Atlanta, Will Levis starting for the Titans. And PK, I'm looking at this situation, and we've broken down the schedule with you last week. I don't think that this team is good enough and with their completely healthy lineup right now to turn this thing around and make the playoffs and compete for the division, all those things. Now you've got a rookie quarterback coming in, I would think, at least for the next two games. So do you think that was the Kevin Byard move an admission that from the front office, from Vrabel specifically, that he feels like this team is done? Or do you buy into what he was talking about yesterday of we're still forging ahead, trying to win as many games as we can win, still have some belief in the team?
Well, I mean, you can't make a trade and say – you can't make that trade and say we're done. And he's never going to say we're done. I mean, they're going to go out and try to win with what they have all the time. Fans seem to automatically think it's got to be one or the other and want them to lose, which I just don't get. I mean – if you look at their five or six best first-round picks, the average has been like 15.9.
Yep.
And if you look at their worst ones, the high ones have been bad. Do you want a higher pick? Yes. Is it should it be your goal to get a higher one? No, I don't think so. You need to instill winning culture in these people. Tyjae Spears needs to be part of a winning culture. Will Levis needs to be part of a winning culture, and people just absolutely dismiss that as valuable. I mean, the Texans are rebuilding. Is it not healthy for C.J. Stroud to be part of wins? Is it not healthy for the Colts guys who will surround Anthony Richardson to be part of wins? That's rhetorical. It absolutely is. But if they make more trades of more high-profile guys, you know, certainly it – reduces their chances of winning and contending this year, and they're conceding that they're not as good as they expected to be, they're not as effective as they expected to be, and their vision is shifting, you know, from this year to next year more as they restock a draft that they foolishly depleted?
Question, totally off topic, but I'm trying to go through. There are a lot of people who like to. The Brewer at center situation. Where do you come down on that?
I think that they like Brewer at center. I think he's okay if he's got good guards next to him. I think Skaronski certainly is a good guard. I think Brunskill's played better than serviceable. I think Brewer is not a frontline worry for this team at this time. I'm all about the tackles. And I think Hubbard's done nice work with help. They need to get to a point where they have one tackle who needs no help the vast majority of the time and another tackle who needs it only sometimes. They need a Lawan Conklin kind of pairing. Conklin had a decent amount of help. But they have to have a dominant left tackle who can handle one-on-ones against everybody but, you know, the Miles Garrett's of the world.
I mean, that's the thing with Petit Frere. He's getting this look at left tackle. He played left tackle at Ohio State. Rough first. You know, I'm keeping an open mind for a game week and all that stuff. But is he still – I still feel like more likely his future is probably right tackle, right?
Yeah.
No, I would need to draft a left tackle.
I would think he's the starting right tackle next year.
Which
and
that
I think
case,
the number
then,
one draft pick has to be a left tackle.
In that case, then, to your point, well, if he's out of place this year to help them, you know, you could make the case with Skaronski too.
Well, let me ask you this, because
this
is something that Charles Robinson brought up with us last week, which we had not really considered, number one, because I don't think the Titans are going to be this bad. But Will Levis is coming in. We're going to get a look at Levis on Sunday. Who knows where it goes from there? Maybe he's the quarterback the rest of the year. You know, there's going to be some evaluation that takes place there. I don't think you're going to have a definitive picture on Will Levis and what he is as a quarterback one way or the other when this season is over. Now, having said that, Charles Robinson asked us this question last week, so I'll ask you. Will Levis plays, Titans finish, they got 3-4 wins on the year, they're picking in the top two or three in the draft. You have an opportunity to take another quarterback. Do you consider that if you're the Titans, knowing that the picture on Will Levis, there's no way after this year, even if it goes really poorly, that the picture could be complete?
If you're in the top two, you have to consider it. I don't think they're going to be in the top two for Caleb Williams or Drake May. So then I think you're in prime position to perhaps get the best left tackle in the draft, which I think is the healthiest thing for the franchise. If Will Levis shows you enough, look, if you can get a generational quarterback, you got to do it regardless of what you've done in the last two drafts, and then you've just made a complete mess of things by spending a third, a second that you traded up for both of them, and a first on quarterback. And it's a complete mess.
It'd be some kind of record, man.
It had to be.
And it's a complete mess. But if it's not one of those two and you're up there, or if it's one of those two, you know, conceivably you could if you like Levis and you're not in love with those guys and you back out, all of a sudden your whole draft life changes. You trade out of that, and you all of a sudden go from not having enough to having a bounty, and you get yourself a left tackle and a fast wide receiver.
So you're back to 2016.
And an elite corner, and this slow rebuild gets accelerated. And all of a sudden, if you can draft well, if you can do better than Corey Davis and Adoree Jackson, you're back in a division that's not that great.
Headline.
So there are all kinds of different permutations to this thing. But the idea of taking three quarterbacks in 3 years and three rounds with two trades up, I mean, that's some severe mismanagement.
Headline. Paul Kaharsky advocates Titans should tank. That's what I'm hearing right there. That's what I'm hearing, buddy.
I think that they should play hard, win as much as they can, and get the best left tackle they can.
A question that I've seen a lot in the last, and I'd like to dunk on it, but since you're here, you're like a useful tool to dunk on.
Thank you.
Crap.
Useful tool. That can be taken in a couple different ways.
You're like a jackhammer with a whistle. The people asking, is it really Byard being moved out? Does it really mean actually he was bad in the locker room or wasn't a leader?
No, it has nothing to do with leadership at all. Production.
We've had like six texts to that effect.
I don't understand how anyone, where's the disconnect? Why would you think that? They love his leadership. They'll miss his leadership the most. They'll miss his leadership more than his play. I think Elijah Molden, if he's healthy, and I don't know that he's healthy, a hamstring, he should be the guy out there. If he's not out there, I think Dane Cruikshank would be the guy this week. Edmonds isn't going to be ready in short order, and Edmonds isn't anything special. But Byard's leadership is invaluable. And there's a void there now, and I don't know who the void guy. I like the way Hooker talked on Monday, and the Titans did well, and they're very good at this. At a big news moment, you get Derrick Henry and Amani Hooker out there. You take care of that story really on Tuesday, with virtually every important person involved in it speaking. Okay. But on the leadership end, they had no beef with Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard's one of the best leaders this team has had.
He's one of the best leaders in the NFL.
You know, and I've been covering him since 97.
Real quickly, it is amazing.
You could have been way meaner.
How many storylines that the Titans have this week? We're probably not going to talk about this much at all the rest of the week. Burke's coming back on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
It's an important week for that guy. Like, he's got, at some point, you got to be productive.
Well, and Levis needs Burks, but I feel like Burks is going to, like, he'll come back and it'll take him 3 weeks to get up to what he needs. And can he stay healthy during those 3 weeks? He's cast so much doubt on himself. And Molden and Tart are big re-additions too, if they can get themselves out there. That'd make a big difference. And I'll just say goodbye with don't block the box and be sure to lock your locks. I got something lately from a guy who maybe didn't lock his locks and had an incident.
So. It's not good. Make sure you lock the locks.
Listen to me. Take me serious.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Judy desperate. And Big Joe desperate coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.